Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I've not got monkeypox, but I have got a real love, a deep love for the Luke and Pete Show.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, right, mate. How you doing?
I'm pretty good.
It's a Thursday. It's Thursday, which means lots of things. But it is the 9th of June. What's happened on the 9th of June? Let's find out, shall we? June 9th holidays. Just typing into the website I use. It's National
Donald Day. What?
Donald Duck? I can't do it. I used to be able to do it.
That's quite good. It's quite good.
Can't do it.
He's actually quite good. I'm actually very surprised. Pleasantly surprised.
I think it's Les Paul's birthday as well. Battle now. I'll do noises for everything. National Sex Day. Yeah.
That's your monkeypox noise.
And Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp's birthday as well. Let's say about
that. Peter, I watched a really good documentary the other day, which I know you're going to roll your eyes about.
Yes.
It was called Sherpa. Have you seen it?
Sherpa.
It's on Netflix.
Sherpa.
Yeah.
Sherpa.
Yeah.
What's it about?
Sherpas.
Okay, then.
Do you know what Sherpas are?
Yeah, little fellas who help you up a mountain.
Don't say that. They're an ethnic group.
I know.
Anyway, it was all about the particularly devastatingly difficult 2 years on Everest, where lots of people died because there was ice slips and,
okay.
And earthquakes and all that kind of stuff. And
I find it astonishing that that sort of thing is still allowed in a modern world.
What?
Like people needing help, using, like you said, an ethnic group, a particular ethnic group to get up a mountain.
But it's a big part of the Nepalese economy. I think it seems quite an honourable like a job.
It's fucking dangerous though, isn't it though?
Yes.
It's really dangerous. And it's just to people from the West go and I climbed up this big fucking mountain, put on my Instagram, brilliant.
It's a massive industry now, Everest. Have you seen those photos of the literally like the traffic jams of people waiting their turn to get up onto the top of Everest?
It's mad, isn't it?
It's crazy.
It's like a lesser situation, but like Mount Fuji, climbing Mount Fuji is not fun. It's just you're just behind old people because it's not particularly testing route. If certainly on season and with certain routes, it's just old people in front of you all the time.
This documentary was interesting because it's all about the kind of geopolitics between Nepal and Taiwan.
Yes,
so you can't go up the other side of Everest because of Taiwan. It's Chinese cause problems for people who want to do that. So you can only go up this one way.
Yeah,
there's a big ice swell. On the route which you have to go across, which is really dangerous because it's always moving.
Okay,
and it talks about the tradition of the Sherpa people, how they've been disrespected in the past, particularly around when Sereb and Hillary's guys went up there with Tenzing, and he didn't really get the credit he deserved, and how it's become a big part of the economy, the big part of tradition, how like it's such a dangerous job that a lot of the Sherpas' families don't really want them to go up there. And it's also partly about labour movements, about unionising, and Sherpas saying that we're not getting paid enough. This is not good enough. It is a really interesting documentary, and it's also really sad because, you know, there were, I think, in one incident, the worst night in history on Everest, I think, was maybe around 2014, 2015, where 13 or 14 of them died in one landslip because the ice slipped down and it was really difficult to get to people to rescue them. It's a fascinating documentary anyway. It's well worth watching.
So do you mean China rather than Taiwan? Because I was a bit confused there. Because I thought it was near Bhutan.
Sorry,
do you mean China?
I don't mean either of those things. I mean Tibet, not Taiwan.
Oh, right. Okay, cool. I got confused there.
I got confused with my territories that are disputed by China.
There's a lot of them.
Easily done.
There's a lot of them.
Yes, Tibet. The other side is Tibet. So it's difficult for Western companies to run operations there, essentially.
But you'd think that the Chinese would use that. Would use that as a? Would that not be a big thing for them financially?
There's no talking to them, apparently.
There's no explaining them.
Joe Biden said the other day, didn't he? A few weeks ago now, he said that if China get aggressive in Taiwan, we're going to get aggressive back, baby.
Oh, dear.
It's all being escalated. Why don't someone think of the semiconductors?
Give us the bloody semiconductors.
You're thinking about the semiconductors, aren't you?
I'm just constantly thinking about that. I just need my mining rig back, mate. Mm. One of my Radians gone down. I need my mining rig back on top. There's a lot of mining rigs for sale in the Essex area, I've noticed.
A
load of graphics cards nailed together with the expressed and unique and single-minded quest to mine as much Bitcoin as possible.
Is that what's driving the cost down?
What do you mean, as in like...
The value of it.
Well, it's clear that the energy crisis means that the energy is too expensive and the price of Bitcoin's gone down, so then it's no more... It's not in any way financially viable to mine Bitcoin, certainly in this country. So a lot of mining rigs that are just, as I said, 5 or 6 quite expensive graphics cards nailed together. They're all going on sale on Facebook Marketplace. Now I look at them and go, ooh.
So some people are mining them at home, just paying the energy bill.
Yeah. And it worked for a long time. It was financially, you know, my mate did it, put it on for, you know, a few days and made a, you know, more like something like 200 quid more than the energy it would cost to actually run it.
How much did it,
he works for like clean energy initiatives in Britain.
Name him.
I'm not going to name him.
How long does it take to mine one Bitcoin?
I do not know. It takes ages. Like it would take like I don't know, a few days, a month. I don't fucking know.
No, because they're worth like 50 grand a piece, aren't they?
Yeah, but if you're putting in 10 grand worth of energy,
but you're not going to get through 10 grand worth of energy in a day.
You will if you've got loads of mining rigs. So yeah, it used to be viable. It's not as viable anymore. Some people are selling their Bitcoin mining rigs.
Energy costs are unbelievable now. I saw Martin Lewis, the money saving expert, on telly.
He's pulling his hair out and he's got none.
He said for the first time I've ever seen, he said, I can't help people. For the first time ever, I've not been able to help you. This needs government intervention and fast, which is a really worrying thing for a lot of people.
Well, do you remember before the budget, Martin Lewis said that Rishi Sunak rang him?
Did he?
Yeah. Do you ever, like, what is happening here? What's happening here?
Canvas and opinion. Fine,
but...
But it depends.
I do get the feeling...
If he's ringing him saying... I'm genuinely interested in your opinion because I think, you know, you've got many years in the game.
I don't mind it. Yeah. I don't mind that.
But if he's ringing saying, will I get away with this or not? then that's different. Because it's bad. It's really bad, honestly. Yeah. Like the cost of living is absolutely incredible for people now. And it's going to get worse, by the way. It's going to get worse post-October.
Yeah. And no windfall tax. Can't be asked. Yeah. You know what, Luke? It'll stop investment. If we give them a windfall tax, it'll halt investment.
Yeah.
Where else are they going to invest? Don't worry about it, dickhead.
Also, we've tried it this way for a long time now. we've given them a long time. Let's try something different.
We've tried giving them tax breaks.
Yeah. Put it this way, right?
And they'll just go where the money is, you prick.
Why don't you try something that might stop children starving to death? Just try
not having fucking old BT telephone boxes filled with loaves of bread for people who can't fucking afford it.
There was talk the other day that some people at food banks who work in volunteering at food banks, and, you know, God bless them, saying that a lot of people aren't taking certain foods from food banks now because they can't even afford to cook them.
Mm.
So they have to take the stuff that's ready to eat because they can't boil potatoes because they haven't got the money.
Can't afford it,
And as ever with these kind of things, what happens is to the poorest in our society is they're put on these fucking meters where they have to pay in advance for electricity, which of course is loads more expensive.
Yeah.
And once it's gone, it's gone. They just cut it.
Yeah.
And I used to have one of those at uni when I was a student. So 20 years ago, we used to have to go down to the shop and put a tenner on this fucking key and put it in.
I had one in my last house. It was a fucking piss take. I was paying nearly fucking £2,000 in rent and they put me on a fucking key. Fuck you.
Yeah, it's bad.
Fuck you.
So the idea being that, like, really, it should be, the opportunity should be taken now for people to at least be given some fucking help. I mean, ultimately, what you've got to say to these senior MPs is you've got to say, what's more important to you? on your watch, people are dying, or do you want to be part of this fucking Boris Johnson death cult? You know, which is basically what it fucking is.
Well, that's exactly. It's only going one way. This is the last days of fucking Rome. The Conservative Party, apparently a party that is dedicated to fiscal responsibility. Every time they get in power, after 10 years, the economy is fucked every single time. And they sort of say prevailing winds, COVID, all that shit. They always fuck the economy because they can't keep their fucking hands out of their fucking kleptocratic fucking bank accounts. They're just like, fucking give me that. Give me all of the money to give to all of my friends every single fucking time. And then it always happens like this. And Labour have to inherit a fucking shit show of an economy every single fucking time.
And do you regret voting for him now?
I'll vote for them again. I like chaos, me.
But Pete, also,
I could do with eating less.
What frustrates me as well is how cowardly the Labour Party are.
Yeah,
they're too scared to say anything because they say that. If I say something, it might poll badly. Mm. Listen, it doesn't get worse than this.
No one's going to vote you in anyway. You're not playing the game that they're playing.
No,
it's a different game. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah,
you're criticised for having a curry. Yeah. Like, it's you can have a picture of the Prime Minister with a fucking bottle of vodka swinging around with his knob out. He can do that. You can't do fuck all.
That's hypocritical from you.
See, they're playing a different game. So don't worry about what fucking polls. Just fucking get angry.
So I know a couple of people who are advisors in the Labour Party, right? So I know,
want the Prime Minister.
Yeah,
and don't talk like this.
I know them quite well, I've had beers with them. I see them quite a lot. And they'll say stuff like about, you know, the poll in this, the poll in that. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, I don't know. What's the worst that can happen? People still won't fucking vote for you. Do something. Do something.
I've been working on my Keir Starmer. What the Prime Minister? He's a bit nasal. Is that the Prime Minister?
And that's going to kill him.
Stop it.
People won't vote for him because of that.
You reckon?
Nah. He's got all the qualifications possible. If you lined him up against Boris Johnson about qualifications, experience, intelligence, integrity, all that kind of stuff, he wins.
Yeah.
And everything he wins, and it's not even close. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, it's about different things to that.
Yeah.
And it's obviously when you're incumbent, it's very hard to be kind of removed. But the problem with Keir Starmer is he doesn't seem normal enough. It's almost like the Ed Miliband thing. But now, I think Ed Miliband is quite normal. And I think since he's been post all that leadership thing, and I know he's still an MP now, he's actually a shadow cabinet minister now, and he does that podcast, which I think is actually very good. He comes across as actually quite a nice guy. Mm. But you are going to be absolutely filleted for fun by the media, by the press in this country, who are, for the large part, fucking disgraceful. And anything you get that makes you out to look not be normal, you're finished.
But
forget it.
So the reason why the Tories in power are, in my opinion, the culture war that our dads like. It's dads liking the culture
war. Not my dad.
Not your dad.
My dad's not like that.
Okay, all right. Well, most of our dads.
Yeah.
What he needs to do is sort of lean into the other stuff that dads like.
Yes.
Caravans, rockeries.
Yes.
Be really opinionated about azaleas and you know, how to correctly maintain a classic car or something.
I'll tell you, the best thing Keir Starmer could do now, on that note, is become best friends with Jeremy Clarkson. Isn't it?
But Clarkson would probably skew Labour, but he's a fucking dribbling right-wing maniac.
No, but the thing with Clarkson, he's a more interesting case now. Have you watched that Clarkson's Farm thing?
But that's all just PR. He's PRing himself. You know for a fact what he is and what his opinion. Well, remember his columns for like 30 years?
Yeah, but that's, on Clarkson Farm, my take is that he actually does... He does actually support quite a lot of work. This is so I'm not making myself clear, but this is the very, very interesting thing. This version of the Conservative Party are nothing to do with what people would say conservative values are.
Yeah, okay.
So, for example, a traditional working class Tory, like a John Major, or a traditional farming conservative, a conservative is also a farmer, probably has nothing in common with this current iteration of the Tory party. And Jeremy Clarkson's tapping into that original Tory thing with this farming stuff.
Yeah.
But he's also showing like interest in the environment, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is a burgeoning movement. Like people who are naturally conservative, there's a lot of them now who do actually care about the environment. That's becoming like a much more interesting trope. Anyway, that's enough of that. I want to hear what you want us to talk about before we started the show today, which is about scallops. So I'm doing a Luke and Pete show pivot, and I'm going to make you talk about scallops.
Would the Prime Minister
do it like Keir
Starmer?
Eat
a scallop.
I would. I love
for
scallops.
For tea. I love scallops.
You're one of the few people I know who buy them from the supermarket and cook them at home.
Yeah.
I've never once had a scallop at home.
Yeah, but you're not eating good scallops. You're eating, like, it's frequently frozen scallops, but like just fucking banging them in there. Oh,
they're like little sweets, aren't they?
They're like little delicious sweets. So these fishermen a little while ago discovered something very interesting. I don't know how they discovered it, actually. An accidental discovery that scallops love disco lights. Scallops have got a bit of me in them. Yeah. They love an indie disco.
Yeah.
They're down there at the bottom of the sea, you know, grabbing plankton or bits of grit or whatever the fuck they eat. Down the bottom there. If you have your little lobster box down the bottom, and there happens to be a disco light in there flashing away, little LEDs.
Why have they come across this?
I don't know how they come across this. I don't know how it happened. They're really attracted to LED lights. The lights were in there to attract crabs. So crabs like lights.
What are they doing
there? I don't know. It just seems that the crabs are attracted to the lights. But they managed to get so many more scallops than they managed to get crabs into the pots. And so scallops can have up to 200 eyes, which is mental. Were more attracted to the LED lights. It says that one of the fishermen said it's like a scallop disco illuminate the trap and they come in. It's astonishing that no one has discovered this before. It's quite an exciting find. So these set of fishermen, British fishermen, I believe, they've set up their pots and stuff with like disco lights, flashing disco lights, and the scallops are just like, what's that over there?
Do you feel bad that the scallops are being tricked?
Yes. Yeah, I do. And I watched that.
Is it underhand?
I felt bad, and I said to my partner, I said, I don't want to eat scallops again. This is really depressing. So there's a video of the scallops going into the pot, and he's got to get eaten eventually. But it did, when the next opportunity I had to eat scallops or not eat scallops, it reminded me about scallops and how delicious they are, so I ate them.
They can't win.
They can't win, man. No.
I also liked it in the story. They said that each little spotlight they put in the pot is done by two rechargeable AA batteries.
Yeah.
I was thinking, get me a scallop fisherman.
I'm actually trying to zoom into the picture that they've got. It's definitely an off-brand battery. That would be right up our street. Is it Burst Day?
It's Duraday.
Is it Duraday?
Part of the Duracell.
Check if we had Duraday.
We would have, surely, in the
email box. If not, the fishermen who discovered that scallops love disco lights, they're going to be going into the Hall of Fame.
Hello to you, Philip Harrington, Chris Maples and Greg Howe. You've all sent Duraday batteries in between now and when we started doing battery hunts. But I thought Duraday were part of the Duracell family.
No way. You've got Dura in there. No, it's an absolute rip.
Would you not be suing them for that?
No, Dura is just durable. You can't own part of the word.
If you're a scallop, I mean.
The genocide of my people.
Yeah.
Dr. Bryce Stewart, a marine ecologist and fisheries biologist at the University of York, has studied scallops for more than 20 years. Co-author of the paper about these disco light discoveries alongside scientists at the University of Exeter. He says, this is one of the most exciting things I've come across in my whole career.
Yeah, I'm on nodding terms with kind of modern academia.
Mm.
And you do meet really interesting people.
Yeah.
And I do like the fact that there's room in our society, in our culture and in our country.
The people who are really into scallops.
Yeah, for someone who's spent his life, 20 years, that's a career by anyone's stretch,
yep,
just studying scallops.
Well,
Do you do oysters? No.
No.
Do you do mussels? No, I don't.
Just scallops.
Yeah.
Most animals, including us, have lenses, but scallops don't. They have mirrors at the back of their eyes, and they also have two retinas, one which senses darker things, one that senses lighter things. So they can possibly use that to sense movement. Perhaps they prefer the illuminated areas because they provide safety from predators or because it's easier to find the plankton they eat. So they are being tricked at these pots, but it still looks like a lot of fun.
I don't know how they're using their eyes because they're in a shell.
I know. Well, the shell comes open. To propel themselves, they flap their shells, don't they? They all...
Yeah.
That's how they get in the pot.
I didn't know that scallops were so...
fun-loving.
No, complicated as an animal.
Yeah, because they look very simple. Now. Like a little button and a little yellow thing, innit?
They're the best seafood.
I reckon
they might be up there. That's the very best seafood, maybe. If you cook it properly.
Maybe.
Do the frozen ones still taste good?
No, they're not great to cook. They're not as good to cook.
Do you cook them from frozen?
Yeah, cook them from frozen. But it becomes quite chewy. Maybe I'll try them in the air fryer. Oh, God, I want some scallops.
Last time you put something in the air fryer, it was crab sticks. And you're supposed to eat them cold. Fucking man.
It was all right.
Anyway, let's have a quick break. When we come back, we'll do some battery brands proper.
Okay.
And maybe get to an email or two as well. But I'll be honest with you, I might not get to an email because I really want to talk about a woman who gave birth during a Metallica concert. So listen out for that.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. It's a Thursday. My name is Pete Donaldson. I'm buoyed by Luke Moore. We got some batteries for you. Those of you who have got in touch with your batteries, we'll get to them as soon as we can. Andrew Leonard's been pulled out of the scallop pot at first. Hello to the Luke and the Pete. You surely must have had a set of East Power Super Heavy Duty in a previous episode, but on the off chance you haven't, here they are. Kindest regards to the man who sent you the story of the luckiest man alive way back at the start of your show. Ooh, Andrew Leonard.
Andrew Leonard, you are surprisingly a new player. No one has sent specifically East Power Super Heavy Duties in before, so congratulations to you. You are a new player. I think that might be a controversial one because some people might think, hang on a minute, I've sent some East Power in. Those exact branded ones we have not had before.
Yeah, okie dokie. All right, next one, James Jennings, Fox 40, Extra Heavy Duty.
Fox 40?
Fox 40. Was that not the band or TV show that the woman out of Pulp Fiction was in? Morning, guys. Stumble across this whilst changing the battery on my electronic whistle I use at work.
What? Tell us more about that.
I'm a steel erector. We use them to warn people when we are lifting overhead. Interesting.
But it's electronic. It's not just a normal whistle.
I know.
I wouldn't have thought anything could be louder than a normal whistle.
Like an electronic whistle.
I've never once heard a proper whistle and gone, oh, that could be louder.
Electronic? No, not really. I think if you get, electronic whistle sound. What does that sound like? Oh, wow. Is a guy unboxing an electronic whistle? He's just opening. It's got a lovely battery in the bottom.
It has three tones and a very powerful sound.
It's a very powerful sound. In the bottom of the pack is a new leader.
A Fox 40 branded whistle. It can't count then.
What do you mean?
Look, the actual whistle itself.
Oh, it's Fox 40.
And so look at the battery. 40.
Well, we can't have that then. That's the same brand as the. Well, I don't know. Is it? Have we had this before?
I was a cigarette paper away from announcing that a new player then.
Oh, my goodness.
And you can use it in all the temperatures and.
What is this guy doing?
He loves his whistle. He loves his electric whistle. He's undoing the packet around the new leader battery.
He's got a new leader in his.
He's got a new leader in his, yeah. He's popping the old 9-volt. Whoa, he just did a super zoom in. He didn't bother licking the battery to see if it was okay, though.
Let's hear it.
Let's hear it, come on. Why isn't it working? He should have put a new leader battery in that, for crying out loud. He's just zooming in, trying to make it work.
Number one
tone. I'll turn it down just in case.
Just be prepared and don't wear any headphones because it's really loud.
Oh, good.
It sounds like this on one.
That's all right.
It's like a beep.
That's like a
beep,
yeah.
As I told you, it's really powerful.
What a weird guy. So
enjoyable. And that's why I like YouTube.
I never knew electronic whistles existed.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed by that one. I think a perfectly normal whistle would work fine.
Yeah.
But unfortunately for you, James Jennings, you've sent in a Fox 40 battery, which does look good. It's got a little picture of a fox on it and everything. It's nice.
I like it, yeah.
But that's also the same brand as the product. So it's not a proper battery.
Yeah.
So we can't accept it, even though we've not had it before.
Well, look, and if you want to check out this man reviewing electronic whistles, he's M3 Roving Ian on YouTube.
He's done very well.
Check him out. And guess what? The only other thing that he's reviewed, and he's reviewed so many of them, it's incredible. He just basically reviews car lights. He installs new Ring Xenon 200s into his car, tries different brands out, and then drives down the road and films what he can see effectively.
Yeah.
So he's doing a valuable... He's providing a valuable service as he rattles around.
How many subscribers has he got?
A European city, 10,000.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. Not bad.
That's fucking annoying, actually. It's got a lot of subscribers for that quality of
it's surprisingly easy to replace car headlights. I had no idea. One of my lights went down and I bought them off the internet and just went, plugged them in. Done.
It's just like a light bulb, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
There you go. Have I bored you that much?
I want you to do the last battery.
All right, then, fine. Sean from Whitley Bay, Active Energy Super Alkaline and Mustangs. That's what he's coming with. Hello, the looking Pete. Following my previous unsuccessful attempt to find that elusive new player, I managed to find the following. Active Energy Super Alkaline, found on my father-in-law's battery drawer. He's a proper dad. Hotel remote Mustangs. I sent these in when I found them, but it wasn't read out. There's a reason why. Because you've had Mustangs a million times, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Sean, sorry, Sean. The last hotel I went to, Hampton by Hilton York, had the cheek to have screwed the back of the remote in place so I couldn't check. I was livid, mainly as myself, because despite being a father for over 6 years, I wasn't dad enough to have a small screwdriver with me on my weekend break to crack it open and check out their cells.
Yeah.
That's something in my life I need. I need a screwdriver in my bag. I just need it. Yeah. I don't know why I haven't got one.
Yeah.
I need it. It gave slight concerns to the character of the hotel guest that I was sharing the place with, given that the hotel deemed it necessary to protect their no doubt unique new player batteries. If neither of those cut the mustard, which I suspect might be the case, the quest will continue. Sean from Whitley Bay, any of those Active Energy Super Alkaline Hotel Remote Mustangs?
No.
No?
Sadly
neither.
Not. So
sorry,
Sean's,
mate.
Sean's a regular emailer and a long-term listener, and we thank him very much for it. But if you're going to send Mustangs in, it's going to be a no. And I'm sad to say you're the third person to send Active Energy Super Alkalines in, so it's not a new player there either.
Oh, good Lord. Never mind. Well, if you'd like to get in touch with the show and if you'd like to let us know about the batteries that you found in your home or work.
I feel bad for the Fox 40. I feel bad for... For our friend, James.
We wouldn't have known if I hadn't have done a little bit of research. I'm doing my research, you know, like those kind of like conspiracy theories.
Yeah, I do my own
actually
research.
Do your own research. Yeah. So
that's
don't
Matt
be sheeple.
Says that a lot. He does says that a lot. What, Pete? What is when James Jennings here, you know, father of the aforementioned Fox 40 batteries?
Yeah.
So he's a steel erector. What does a steel erector mean?
Oh, I don't know. Do you reckon it's like
I thought it was like a scaffolder, but it's not that, is it?
It's got to be like the people who put the framework in before all the cement gets piled into big buildings, maybe.
Yeah.
What do you reckon? Steel erector?
Sounds like a tough job. When I walk past scaffolders, I think, fucking hell, that is a tough job.
Yeah, iron worker, non-working. Yeah, they just assembly structural framework in accordance with engineered drawings.
So I reckon James must be in good nick.
Not necessarily, because he didn't do it physically himself, does he?
Well, I don't know. He's got a whistle.
He's got a big whistle. He's got a big crane, presumably, and a big whistle. And
I saw a scaffolder the other week at the back of the scaffolding van, the flatbed truck thing.
Yeah.
He had about five of those pipes over his shoulder, right, and one arm. And he was chatting to his mate, and he was swinging them around, and he was going to his mate, "Yeah, I've got a trapped nerve in my spine. I've got to go and have an operation next week." And I was thinking, how many can you normally carry? Fucking hell. He looked like he was in no discomfort whatsoever.
Wow.
I wouldn't be out of bed if that were me.
I'd need me at the front, someone in the middle, and someone at the end.
Yeah.
If we had to carry anything.
You know, there's that TikTok thing we were talking about the other day about traveling families challenging each other to fight. There's also a good trope on TikTok of people doing quite good feats of strength on the building site.
Okay, right.
So like,
yeah.
You know, it's like probably just a bunch of lads who's the strongest kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I saw one where it was this guy, it was obviously a scaffolder, and he had about, it must have been about a 20-foot long pole with all those little attachments on the end that they used to tie the scaffold poles together. Yeah. About seven of them on the end. He had to lift the scaffolding pole right up and lift it down again.
Right.
They did it, and it was fucking unbelievable. It's so alien to me, that kind of stuff. So clever.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, if you're a scaffolder, get in touch with the most interesting and impressive feat of strength you've ever committed, because my feats of strength are non-existent.
Yeah.
Should we have a quick email before we go?
All right, then.
There's an email here from our friend Blake. He says, hi, Luke and Pete. Story about the alligator being sold out of a car boot a number of weeks ago reminded me of another alligator-related tale. I send you this at the risk of being called Florida Man because it is the place of my origin, but I can assure you that I have moved away from that strange place and I'm not looking back, except maybe for the beaches. But one evening after a late night working at a grocery store in my hometown, just after graduating high school, I was driving home during a storm. They're quite frequent during the summer here. And as I was about to turn into my driveway from the road, I noticed something peculiar in the glow of my headlights. Two light pink circles floating about a foot off the ground, around 10 to 20 metres in front of me. Now, I'd heard that an alligator's eye shine is pink in colour, but to see one this far, you know, from the numerous ponds and small lakes that dot the landscape of my hometown was a bit unusual. The interesting part, though, is what happened next. After driving around the gator and parking close enough to the house for safety, we contacted the local authorities about what to do with this dangerous animal on our property. They said they would send someone out, and about 30 minutes later, two police officers showed up in a squad car and knocked on our front door. They then asked if we had a piece of PVC pipe and a rope to make a slip that could be used from a distance to keep its mouth closed. I mean, they should have that. They should already have that. They should turn up with that. It shouldn't be
bare minimum.
We'll just check if they've got one of them in the house.
Yeah.
After acquiring the random bits from our garage, one cop kept the gator's mouth shut while the other hopped on the back of it and folded his little legs behind his back and wrapped them up in duct tape.
Adorable.
Bless him. After essentially muzzling and handcuffing the gator, they put him in the back seat of the squad car, closed the doors and drove off. They didn't even seem to bother, tranquilizing him or anything before arresting him. They've actually arrested an alligator. To this day, I'm not sure where exactly they took him, but I know there's a small state park in the area that is rumoured that they released the problem alligators. I don't know whether this is true, but having been to the park, there are abnormally high number of alligators, as well as signs about how they may be aggressive to enter the area at your own risk. Before I know, they could have taken him to the police station and locked him up in jail for the night before one of his friends came to post his bail. Thanks for keeping my work days interesting, Blake, who's not from Florida anymore. I thought, first of all, there would be a dedicated section in the police in Florida or
get a patrol.
Who'd have all the equipment.
Yeah.
Like a dog catcher or something.
Yeah.
Because they're everywhere. I mean, you can't walk past a body of water in Florida anywhere without going, there's a Florida, there's going to be a fucking alligator. And they've taped him up and chucked him in the back of the car. Mad.
Absolutely. I hope it's got a record.
Yeah.
They're taking him down for processing.
Little mugshot. Yeah.
How would you photograph an alligator? Would you have to be, you'd have to hold it like face on, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you can't show it like his belly. That's rude. It's rude, that.
It's just showing his belly.
But you can hold an alligator's mouth shut just with your fingers, right? Because they haven't got any jaw strength in their opening, it's just the closing, right? So
they're notable, absolute wet blankets. Wet blankets. Rubbish animals.
Saltwater crocodiles are the ones. Right. They're the nasty ones.
They're the nasty ones.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Right, because they're just all salty.
Yeah.
They want us to
That's why they're called that. Yeah, they're just really moody all the time.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, see you next time. Thank you very much for getting in touch. It's hello at lukeandpeach.com for the emails, at lukeandpeachshow for the social media. Thank you to our friends Blake, James, and all the rest of you for sending correspondence in. We love hearing from you, and we'll see you next time.
Don't get monkeypox.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.